Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 100. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week, we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. And what better way to celebrate our 100th episode than by talking about the golden age of comics? But first, printed on newspaper pulp, I am Brandon Uscio, and joining me is the boy wonder, Nick English.
Isn't it great that I can just use my proper title?
It's cheating. It's just cheating. But then also we have Captain Marvel before Shazam or Carol, Jeff Dumas.
When I yell split, my limbs detach and they can fly around.
Well, that doesn't sound like a good superpower.
That's a real thing, apparently.
Okay.
Real for me. I don't know if it's a comic or not.
Sounds like a Venture Brothers episode or a Venture Brothers villain.
All right. And then also joining us this week, we have Captain America's young ally, Joe Dorowski from the Protagonist Podcast.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for being here. I think this completes our triumvirate of the Protagonist Podcast.
Yes, it does. And soon we hope to complete our triumvirate over on the Protagonist Podcast of having all three of you on.
I like it. All right, if you have not checked out the Protagonist Podcast, I don't know how you've been listening to our podcast, because it's been about a year, I think, that we've been talking heavily about you guys and being on your show and vice versa. So the episode that we did with fan fiction, where we came up with our fanfic stories, and the episode that we talked about reboots and remakes, and
that we tried to talk about.
Well, okay, we tried to, and then Nick and Andrew just loved the Clue quotes way too much.
I think that was the right amount of love for Clue.
That
quotes.
Was a brilliant episode.
All right, so Protagonist Podcast, that's over at protagonistpodcast.com, right?
Yes, that's correct. And just each week we talk about a great character and a great story, and it's a pretty eclectic mix of characters that we end up talking about.
It is, and there have been times where you've talked about a character that I've been like, I don't know about this one, but, you know, I listened to it anyway. And at the end of it, I was like, oh, that sounds like a really interesting story. Like, I went out and bought Watership Down, like, right after listening to your podcast, because I had never read it. I thought it was about, like, naval battleships or something. Not
yeah,
bunnies.
I had a big misconception about that one before I actually read it for the podcast, too.
I do have to comment, they have a great logo.
It is a great
logo. I think it could do some work.
No, I think that is a perfection as a logo.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Brandon's like, oh, this, now it's awkward, you know?
I was just gonna see if Nick was going to plug nickenglishart.com where you can get a logo commission. But
yes, you can do that. Good job.
Yeah,
thank
that.
You.
Yeah, yeah. Commission your logo. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, and if we've proven anything on this show, anybody can start a podcast.
To be fair, you had this started before Nick and I were involved. So,
well, I was still involved in it. And like I said, if we can get to 100 episodes, anybody can at least start, right?
Right. Yes, so. And yeah, we started right about the same time, because we just passed 100 episodes just a little bit ago. And
I would just like to thank my mom for being our one listener. She's really great.
Thanks, Mom.
Hey, my
I actually got a
Patty.
Message from her that was like, I really want to listen to the podcast. How do I do that again? I was like, push on this app. Oh, yeah.
I subscribed for you already, Mom.
I already put it on your phone.
All the episodes are there. We've seen the download numbers.
And you're the only one. All right. But no, if you want to start a podcast, reach out to Nick. He's done a couple designs for logos now, and he might be getting hit up for another one here in the near future. Just put that on your radar, Nick.
I don't like getting hit, just so you know.
Well,
although I've been hit many times in my karate times, not in other ways. That was probably
that was
a little
almost
vague.
Sad.
That was almost sad. Sorry.
Nick gets beat up on a regular basis. We'll just leave it at that.
Dang so. It.
All right, let's jump into the random fandom.
You're a wizard.
You are entering the random fandom.
I think this week we are going to have our final segment of the Random Fandom. It's kind of sad, but the Random Fandom has been the section of the show where you guys write in and tell us about the things that you love, and we spend a few minutes talking about them, usually go off on a couple tangents. Haven't been getting a ton of them back, and so we're going to shift over to do something else, but if there is something you want us to talk about, there's still the feedback at fandompodcast.com that you can send in, and boy, we love talking about things that we don't have to come up with. So if you have something that you love, go ahead and send that in. this week, since he has been such a prolific contributor to our Random Fandom, when Joe saw that we are retiring the Random Fandom, his exact line that he typed in is, "Have you talked about Batman the Animated Series? Can we talk about Batman the Animated Series?" And so my response is, let's talk about Batman the Animated Series. So Batman the Animated Series was a cartoon from the 90s. It was on, I don't even know the network. It was on Channel 14 here.
It was on Fox initially.
Was it on Fox initially?
Yeah. And then I think it became Batman and Robin, it switched over to WB, I want to say.
That's right.
This is plumbing the depths of my childhood viewing.
So it's not a recent show. Jeff, this is a little bit of an older one. Have you ever seen this one?
I'm aware of this show. Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill.
Okay, all right. It's possibly the best Batman-Joker duo ever.
Possibly.
Well, I really like Jared Leto, so I'm gonna see how it stands up.
Get out.
Jared Leto is so attractive.
Bad, Brandon, bad.
I just love the tear in his eye. He's always crying. Hey, my phone just alerted me that there's a new protagonist podcast.
Yeah, mine too.
That's timing.
You can't say Jared Leto and Ben Affleck have a good relationship. We haven't seen them on screen together yet.
Right, that's why I said possibly. So maybe we'll find out here.
Okay. First tangent, I really hope that is. Like, I hope whatever their interaction is, this is what we've been waiting for. Anyway, animated series.
The animated series. Okay. All right. So the animated series, I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but I know it's on Amazon Prime.
That's where I watch it.
Yep. For Christmas, we watched, I want to say it was season 1, episode 4, where it was
Christmas
the Joker
with the Joker?
Planting. Yeah, the Joker Christmas planting the bombs Joker. All around.
That is a great episode.
I meant to watch that one with my kids. And then I forgot this Christmas, but next Christmas I'll remember.
It's turned into a family tradition that my wife absolutely hates, but my kids asked for it, so.
Like, can we watch that mean Joker guy? He heard all the people
Christmas.
During Christmas.
Yes, so. Nothing says Christmas season like the Joker.
So for sure, Batmobile lost a wheel, Joker got away. So, all right. So Joe, since we have you on the show, why don't you tell us about Batman the Animated Series? Why you like it so much and why you want to talk about it? I know it's one of Nick's favorites as well.
Yeah.
But why don't you share your opinion?
I was hoping to hear Nick do some voices from Batman the Animated Series, but maybe that'll come.
He only does Adam West. He can't do serious voices.
Doesn't have the Kevin Conroy.
No, I can do other ones. Jeez.
Oh, hit a nerve.
Challenge accepted.
Batman the Animated Series, I think it's one of those perfect gateway shows for, like, it's targeting the right age of kids to introduce them to a genre or a character that there's so much more to it than just this one cartoon show that they're going to experience, but it just hits the perfect tone for, that 8, 9, 10 year old kid, where it's Batman, it's not as goofy as some versions like the Adam West, which I love, and I think, you know, is a great version of Batman, but it's not as dark as some, you know, like the Nolan trilogy, perhaps. And it treats, you know, the source material with respect, but creates something new in the adaptation.
Harley Quinn, first appearance.
Yeah, but and like just the tone and everything they do with the adaptation, it's unlike what you're going to get if you're reading the comics, but it honors and respects what comes from the comics. And sometimes that's a balance that seems to be missed in adaptations.
That's definitely true. Nick, one of the things that you've said is that you like the art. Which is a big surprise to us, I know.
I know
what
nothing
specifically
of
is
art.
It?
Okay, so I've talked about how in this show, my mentor was a huge Batman fan as well. And he's actually one of the people who gave me the nickname Boy Wonder. So in junior high, I had an art teacher. His name was Rob McKay, and he loved Batman. He actually incorporated it into my junior high art class. So he would, and he always brought in pop culture references and stuff. So like when he would talk about the light side and the dark side, he'd always talk about Star Wars and draw like the Death Star and stuff. But he talked about perspective specifically in this show, because this show was probably one of the first cartoons to really just embrace perspective and proper perspective and awesome perspective. And you even get it just in the opening sequence. Now, for people who don't know what perspective is, the art term for perspective is making something look 3D. So like when you would draw a box and then you draw the little two other sides on it and you said, oh yeah, this is awesome, I drew a 3D box. That's what perspective is.
Yes, we know. Sorry, I've been watching a series of unfortunate events that just reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's really funny. But but there is actually like proper techniques to make it so that all of the points from one in one picture are properly represented. There's 1, 2, 3 point perspective. Anyway, this is not an art podcast, but we got to watch episodes of this, and he would like pause it and say, okay, what, you know, what is this perspective here? And it, you know, was awesome. And then they really used light and shadow really well in it, because it's so dark and Batman is always coming in and out of the shadows. So there's a lot of really cool stuff. They use color theory as far as like color combinations that go together a lot as well. But that's also just comic books in general. So you just kind of use the triad and partial triad and all that stuff in order to create a good artwork. And so it's just really fun to watch it in that sense and be like, yep, I learned that in college. That's cool. Yeah, I learned that in junior high. Like, you know, like, so it's fun. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I loved about this is it's kind of like when you see Star Wars as a cartoon, or even in this modern one, Batman is actually moving around. Like, he's jumping around, and it's the Batman that I have in my head. Like, he's a ninja. Where Adam West, let's be honest, he was not that physical.
What are you saying about Adam West and Burt Ward and those fight scenes? Every one of those punches landed.
The tights might have been a little constricting. But then the Michael Keaton suit, it was so stiff around the neck, he couldn't even turn his head. Like, oh, if you
Batman
ever noticed...
Batman didn't turn his head until Christian Bale.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and that was the second Christian Bale movie.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, Adam West doesn't count.
Oh, them's a fight.
Cartoons
words.
Don't count.
Pow, whack, smack.
And then another thing that I really liked was the villains. Because this is the first show that I remember actually feeling something for the villains. Because usually in kids' shows, villains are the bad guys, and that's all there is to it. But you've got episodes with Poison Ivy where you feel bad for her, or Harley Quinn.
Mr. Freeze,
that was his wife.
Yeah, I think that was added in the animated series. Like, Mr. Freeze was just kind of a one-note villain in the comics, and then they added a backstory in the animated series that got adopted, if I'm remembering correctly.
They added lots of stuff in the animated series that got adopted.
That's where Harley Quinn was created and is now one of DC's most popular characters.
I can't remember which one, so I mean, I may be misquoting them, but I remember hearing that Harley Quinn is one of the top three DC selling books right now.
I would believe it, yeah.
That just blows my mind with all of the, I mean, you got Batman, you got Wonder Woman, you got things that should be selling, and Harley Quinn's what's selling. So, mm-hmm.
Well, there was that awesome movie.
Yeah.
That really brought her to the limelight.
Yeah, did favors to every character that appeared in it.
All right, Nick, I know you're dying. Give us a line or two.
Oh, you put him on the spot.
The one time I tell you to do it, you can't come up with a quote.
Look here, bats.
That was a pretty good match.
That was close enough.
That was pretty good.
This is what he says. He says, jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, because I was thinking of the Christmas episode. I couldn't think of anything else. And the only thing I want to quote is Iago from Aladdin in the Joker's voice, but I'm like, I don't know if I should do that, because I want to do I don't know why Gilbert Gottfried's in my head right now. But I can't get him out of my head, and so it's just like I want to be like, excellent work, Iago. No, really, on a scale from 1 to 10, you are an 11. Oh, Jafar, you're too kind. And that's all I can think about right now. I don't know why.
I don't know why you didn't do that mashup when we were doing fan fictions.
Joker, Jafar.
Look here, bats. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything right now, which is really kind of sad.
This is like the only episode where I've also told you, have at it.
I know, and that's probably why it's not working.
You took the fun out of it.
The thing is like all of the episodes I've watched lately have been like not Joker episodes, and I don't know why that is. It's probably just because I randomly select one, and then I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this one for a long time. And so like the ones that I've watched is I watched the Two-Face two-parter, which is like literally one of the best parts of that show. Like, they probably have the highest ratings on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, IMDb. Like, they are fantastic. And then the one that I always end up watching and skipping, like, this is the Mojoverse for Batman for me. Like, this is the episode that, like, every time as a kid I was like, I'm going to watch Batman because I can and my sisters are not watching something else. It was always the episode where Joker, like, is only in it for, like, 5 minutes of the show, but it's when that, like, guy, he blackmails him. and then he comes back. You remember this episode, like
with
the
that
bald,
webbing and
the bald, yeah. The bald guy that has the one like hair striped across his brow to like cover up his head, and his name is Charlie, and he changes his name because he's trying to get away from the Joker, and then the Joker comes back and has him like rob a whole bunch of old ladies, and all he has to do is like walk into a place. Yeah,
I just checked what the highest rated ones are using Graph TV. That does all the IMDb user rankings. And number one is Two-Face Part 1, and number two is Two-Face Part 2. Those are the highest rated episodes. The next one is
that
Almost
Got Him.
That was
not a lie, Nick. Good job.
Almost Got Him, which is a great episode when they all the villains tell about the time they almost got Batman. They're playing
that
poker
is a
together.
Good episode. Joker's Favor, I think, is what the one that I always see is called. And he says, he calls him up on the phone. He's like, the guy's like, hello? And he's like, hello, Charlie. And he's like, wrong number. My name's Don. No, no, no. That's not right. This number is for Charles. Something like that. I can't remember. No, that's as far as I can go.
That is a really good match for Mark Hamill's Joker voice.
I don't know why you changed your name, Donnie. Something
next,
like
we need
that.
To get you reading some Donald Trump tweets like Mark Hamill.
That would be pretty good. How did you find me? Oh, I never lost you, Chaz. You've become my hobby. No, I can't do the laugh. That's about as good as I can do on that one. I need to work on that.
A really fun story is hearing Mark Hamill talk about how he got that job, because he was convinced they weren't going to hire him because he was Luke Skywalker.
Really?
Tim Curry was cast as the Joker, wasn't he?
I never heard that. I wouldn't be surprised, but I knew they had other people in mind, and then Mark Hamill goes in saying, well, they're not going to give it to me. I'm already Luke Skywalker, so I can just do whatever I want. And then he got it, and he's just gave him a panic attack of, oh no, I actually have to do this now. I don't remember what I did. It's a fun story.
I just checked. You can find, there are some clips, it looks like, of Tim Curry doing the Joker. He was the Joker, and then they were worried because there was some Peter Pan cartoon at the same time, and he was Captain Hook. He did the voice of Captain Hook, and they didn't want him.
Yeah, it was Peter and the Neverland. No, it was the Lost. Oh, dang it. No, I can't remember.
Peter and the Neverland Pirates? No, that's the. Jake and the Neverland Pirates. It's the Disney one.
It was the new adventure. It was like the Hook version.
Yeah.
Of the cartoon.
It's the one where Jane goes back, right?
No, that's the cartoon that was the Disney cartoon. There was like an animated cartoon on like Saturday morning cartoons or something.
Yeah, and Peter Pan was like all in brown in that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. And he had it was very much like they took Hook and then made it a cartoon because Hook was quasi-popular.
I've been working on a Peter Pan, Peter Pan research, and it's because he was in brown. If it wasn't a Disney one, he was in brown to avoid copyright infringement because the whole Peter Pan story is public domain now. But if you make it look too much like Disney's, Disney can sue you.
Ah, okay.
So what I found on IMDb is that Tim Curry was actually, so there may have been that one as well. I'm not saying that's not true, but Tim Curry was cast as the Joker, and he actually recorded 4 episodes of it, but they found him too scary.
Oh. Okay.
And so they decided to go with Mark Hamill. So.
And you guys were overcomplicating the title. I think it's just Peter Pan and the Pirates.
I think that's right.
Oh.
And the Captain Hook had like white hair, and it was like a wig, like the wig of the guys that that are like lawyers in Britain, old timey Britain.
Oh. So I'm seeing on here as well that the original Robin on Batman the Animated Series, they made him older because the censorship rules were against showing endangerment of children.
Well, there you go.
There's nothing dangerous about being Batman's sidekick. Ask Jason to
I think it's Frank Miller calls Robin the boy target. Robin the boy target. Because in the Golden Age Batman, he was an 11-year-old, I think, that Batman recruited to go out and fight gangsters with guns. In much brighter colors. So Frank Miller always called him Robin the boy target. And Batman was just hoping that Robin would distract everyone and take the bullets for him.
So here's Batman in a black suit. And
in the shadows.
Frank Miller viewer, it's all like black and gray. Like in the shadows, yeah. And you got this bright yellow and red and green target jumping around.
Oh man, where does he get these wonderful toys?
All right. Well, I think we did a pretty good job covering Batman the Animated Series, talking about some of our favorite things from there, and I think that's probably a good one to end the official Random Fandoms on. We are not ending the feedback. Please send us in feedback and let us know what you want us to talk about, and rather than a Random Fandom, we may just dedicate an entire episode to it. So that you can reach us over at fandompodcast.com/contact. All right, guys, let's jump into the geek news. So just earlier today, as we record this, Facebook blew up for me. The title of episode 8 for Star Wars came out, and it is called The Last Jedi.
I thought it was Jedi.
Jedi? Have I been
pronouncing it
wrong?
Oh, it's pronounced Jedi? Oh, jeez.
I've only read the books.
Why can't I be the the adorable snowman? I'm a nice guy. Just saying.
Okay. I was trying to figure out where that came from.
Yes.
Yeah. This is Nick's thought process. So, okay. So I've got this quote from Monsters, Inc. How do I use it? Let's put it on Hoth, because Hoth was a snow world.
No, it was Jedi, Yeti.
Abominable. Monsters, Inc.
Yes. Abominable snowman.
You were overcomplicating things, Brandon.
I didn't see the connection. That's just that. I'm glad that it was not as far of a leap as I thought it was. What do you guys think about the title? To me, it seems ominous until it's not.
I saw some people talking about it. This is in the scroll at the beginning of Force Awakens. It does refer to Luke Skywalker as the Last Jedi, and in the movie, Supreme Leader Snoke, who I love that's a character name that we get to just toss around. Supreme Leader Snoke says the droid will lead them to the Last Jedi. So and I think in Return of the Jedi, doesn't Yoda say, like, you will be the Last Jedi? Or, I mean, in Yoda speak. Yes, it's obviously a reference to Luke Skywalker. Like, when it first came out, my brothers and I did a quick text, like, could this be Rey or is it Luke? And then everyone was posting all the references to Luke
or
as the Last Jedi.
Is that the red herring MacGuffin that we're supposed to be all like, oh, they're talking about Luke, where it's actually Luke's going to die and Rey will
be
the Last
Jedi. They're all going to die except for one. We just don't know who it is.
Well,
every
Jedi
Force
is
user is going to die.
Jedi can be a plural noun officially in the Star Wars universe, so it could be the last group of Jedi.
That
over
is a
there.
Good point.
Oh,
because they don't say Jedi's. They
because
don't.
Jedi sounds dumb.
So yeah. Luke and Rey, like Luke trains Rey,
like
they
Yeti?
Become the Last Jedi together. Those two,
like Yeti and Yeti, same thing. Just saying.
we got it. We got there. Don't worry.
Oh wait, how did you connect that? Let me see if I can find an obscure way to do that.
Come on,
because you see, Yeti and Yeti are the same word.
But no, that's awesome. I like Joe's theory.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one because that way we're going to be happy, because I saw a potentially leaked crawl for episode 8 where it says episode 8, The Last Jedi. I hope Luke doesn't die. 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 And then I think it had some more. I hope Luke doesn't die some more.
Well, just put it this way. Will he ever really die? Because then he'll become a Force spirit and he'll be able to help at all times and then be
a
in the
voice
movie
floating
all the
through
time.
Rey's head.
Did anybody ever really teach him how to become a Force ghost? Because Qui-Gon Jinn was working on it. If you watch Clone Wars, Qui-Gon Jinn is kind of a disembodied Jedi ghost. And he was teaching Obi-Wan, and that's how Obi-Wan became that way, and Yoda is Yoda. Did anyone bother to teach Luke?
Who knows? Maybe Yoda did, or maybe all of the spirit Jedi taught him in spirit form.
Okay, in spirit form, they're coming back to teach him about being a Jedi.
So,
Jedi truths to him.
Hermit Luke on that lonely planet isn't really that lonely because Yoda and Obi-Wan just won't shut up. They're just hanging around.
That's Jar Jar comes out. How did you become a Force spirit? Ah, Sith I am.
The reason he doesn't say anything at the end is because he's trying to get a word in edgewise, but the other ghost just won't shut up.
I'm just not used to being
a Jedi master.
We covered this.
He's a Darth. He's
Jar Jar. Jar Jar is an evil Sith who becomes Snoke. That's just how it is.
And his ears shrunk. They cut off his ears, and that's what made him mad. And that's why he's like all bald and weird.
Snoke is still Mace Windu.
No.
Okay.
All can't right. change my mind.
Hey, one last question about this thing. So in the image, Star Wars is in red. The outline is in red. Have we ever seen that before? Because it felt weird to me.
So I
it's always yellow.
The original Revenge of the, like when Return of the Jedi was Revenge of the Jedi. I want to say that original poster, if you ever see that one floating around, has red.
Yes, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith.
But Return of the Jedi was when it was first announced as Revenge of the Jedi, and they released a few bits of merchandise with that title, and then they changed it to Return of the Jedi. And if you see any of those, it has a red logo.
I think Revenge of the Sith was one too, though, right?
Oh, was Revenge of the Sith also? Did they use it in that?
I believe so. Yes.
If
so
only
maybe
we
it's,
had the internet.
Oh, I was gonna say like maybe it's the third one, but this isn't the third one because we
Revenge,
don't count Rogue
Revenge
one.
Of the Sith is red. So
Oh, huh. Yeah.
So maybe it has more to do with evilness. I don't know.
More evil tones in this one?
Yeah, maybe.
So Revenge of the Sith and then Revenge of the Jedi were both in red. So
yeah, but I think when they changed it to Return of the Jedi, they switched it back to yellow.
Was it yellow or was it blue?
Oh, maybe it's blue.
Hey, anyone want a Revenge of the Jedi poster on eBay? Only $4,000.
That's going cheap.
Revenge of
the Jedi.
It does
look like the Return of the Jedi movie poster is blue. Star Wars Return of the Jedi has a blue text.
Can you imagine someone at Disney right now is going, hold on, no, it'll make the geeks freak out, change it red.
It's not even going to be in the movie poster that way or anything at all. It's just for this one reveal.
This one announcement, and then they're going to somehow delete it off all our computers and repost it red or yellow or whatever. It's like, wait,
it's going to be
like
the Bernstein. I remember it being red at first. Do you remember it being red?
Well, you know, what happened is we are in the universe that we were in collapsed and our consciousnesses slipped over into this parallel universe. And that it doesn't explain it. That is not a real theory.
It's a long way to go for a sci-fi series, dude.
Oh,
we're trying to have a serious conversation about Star Wars and you bring in parallel universes. Gee.
Space wizards. Let's get back to space wizards. I'm sorry.
Right. Get on topic.
The only thing I can think of is in all three of those movies, there's definitely a lot of battles between evil and good, or light and dark.
But not in the other Star Wars movies, just those
No,
two.
But like, no, they actually, I don't know, maybe that's just a stretch. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what connect, because at first, like, it's like, well, those are the third parts of the trilogies, but this obviously isn't. Unless you count Rogue One all of a sudden as, like, this is our third Star Wars movie.
Huh. It is Disney's third Star Wars movie. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was saying. I was like, maybe it's all of the thirds, but then I was like, Rogue One is... No.
Definitely not the second part of this trilogy.
I want to be the guy at Disney who designed this poster just so that I could be laughing at all of us right now.
I'm going to guess that we are one millionth of all the conversations going on right now about the color of the font title
Red
for
Star Wars
The Last Jedi.
Let's jump over to a different news story that we have that we will probably be one millionth of the conversation on as well. We're getting up to two now. Slowly and surely, we're getting up to the million. All right, or I guess we're getting up to one. All right, we'll take it. There were rumors way back when Supergirls went to the CW that they were going to be doing a Flash and Supergirl musical crossover. And then they announced the four-part crossover, and we're like, oh, well, this must be what those rumors were pointing to. No, it actually was not. There will be a musical crossover, and it will air March 20th and 21st. So
more 21st than the 20th. My understanding is a bulk of it's going to be on Flash.
That makes sense, because that's what they did last time with Supergirl, because those worlds are so different. Yeah. And Flash has all of the goofy characters, too. So if there's going to be somebody to break into song, it's going to be in the Flash's world.
I want them to cast Neil Patrick Harris as Music Meister, like they did in Batman Raven the Bold. That's how you justify this. A villain who controls people while singing.
Wasn't he in the Batman cartoon series, the one for kids?
Yeah, Brave and the Bold. They did a whole musical Batman, episode of it.
And wasn't Neil Patrick Harris him in that one?
Yeah. Okay. It's an homage.
Yeah. So if we don't get it here, we can still go watch that episode.
Yeah, that still Brave exists. I mean, yeah, you can only see the episode. You totally can't buy the album off iTunes, which I may or may not have. It's a great song.
Wow. I tried to get Cobra to watch that probably a year ago. Maybe I should try again. He'd probably like it. Superhero Squad, too. I tried that one. He wasn't too into it, but he might be into it now.
If you look at it, the actors on The Flash, at least in my knowledge, they have more experience with music. Aside from Melissa Benoit, he is in Joyful Noise. But on The Flash, you've got Jesse Martin, and you have Carlos Valdez, and...
Joe.
Yes, Joe. John Barrowman. I mean, he's...
Oh, John Barrowman's on Legends.
If he's not in this episode, I'm going to be upset.
He's busy being the Legion of Doom.
With a time traveler. There's plenty of time.
Isn't he one of those that was assigned to, like, the entire... Like, they're a cast regular for the entire CW-verse?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Because there were a couple actors that their contract wasn't for a specific show. It was just for, essentially, the CW superhero universe. I think the Wentworth Miller was also one of those that... He's mostly going to be on one, but he's signed to make a certain number of episodes in all of them.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, but he has like a quota where like you're going to be a series regular, so you have your 22 episodes, but it's going to be we can use you in any of these shows, basically.
And for those of us who don't know, who's that?
The Captain Cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, huh. I just found this quote in an article from Variety. It says, the episode entitled Duet will be directed by Dermot Downes and will feature singing performances from Grant Gustin, Melissa Benoit, Jesse L. Martin, Victor Garber, Carlos Valdez, Jeremy Jordan, and John Barrowman. So yes, John Barrowman is going to be there.
And Victor Garber. Victor Garber has to be in there too.
Oh man, did you guys watch that?
Victor Garber will be in there as well. Yes,
we should have a party for that episode.
I have a party for every episode. Did you when the first season of Flash was airing, the guys who played I don't know actual names, Cisco, Joe, and Eddie Fawn, the three of them sang the theme for Firefly just for it off video, and it's amazing. I suggest you look it up.
Right. Yes, so Cisco is...
I'm intrigued. Like, I want to go look that up right now, but I shouldn't because I'm podcasting.
I'll put it at the end of the episode. It's awesome. It really is. Joss Whedon backed some project that they had going on, and so that was their thank you to him. All right, next news story. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been given his own solo movie in the DC Extended Universe about his character, Black Adam. We all know who that is, right?
Sure.
I do. He's the villain from Shazam/Captain Marvel. Yeah.
He's
the villain.
Since we have somebody who has actually published books on comic books, why don't we... Joe, why don't you tell us who Black Adam is? I have a rough understanding of who he is. I've seen enough DC cartoons for it, but I've never read him in a comic.
So Black Adam is the villain of a DC character who I think is now officially called Shazam, but has been called Captain Marvel previously.
You are correct in this.
And there's a long, convoluted legal history as to why they're now just Shazam. But Shazam is a character who is a young boy when he says the magic word Shazam, which stands for the wisdom of Solomon, strength of Hercules, endurance of Atlas, something of the power of Zeus. I'm running out now. What's the second A? Anyone know?
I didn't know the first A.
You're doing great. Just keep going.
Yeah, just pretend.
You're the only one who knows.
Courage of Achilles.
Oh, there. Okay. And what's the M? I've forgotten the M,
too. Speed of Mercury.
So he kind of becomes a Superman analog, and that's one of the... There have been lots of lawsuits about these characters, but now he's a DC character. And so when Billy Batson says the word Shazam, he gets all those powers in one, and it makes him essentially like Superman, but he still has the mind of this young boy, Billy Batson. And there's this whole family of the Captain Marvel family that I don't even know what they call them all now, since they can't use Captain Marvel.
Shazam. I'm pretty sure it's Shazam.
Kids. The Shazam
Flashpoint,
family.
They call them Shazam kids.
And one of those is the villainous Black Adam. That's part of the Shazam family, we'll call it.
Yes. On a side note, I just watched, I know I'm late to the game here, but I just watched Justice League War on Netflix, and Shazam is a main character there. Black Adam is not, but...
Yeah.
I really liked that one. And I sat there the entire time thinking, could they make this a live action? Would I like it as much if this was a live action? But I tell you, the way Batman was portrayed, I usually think that Batman is overrated. I usually can't stand Batman. But the way that he was in this one, where like Superman's charging at him and he's like, you bruise, but you don't kill. Isn't that right, Clark? And like stops Superman in his tracks. And
then Superman cheats.
Yeah. He X-rays his mask. Oh, hey, Bruce Wayne. So, no, it's on Netflix. You got to watch it. It's couple swear words in there, not for the little kids.
Terrible swear words.
But not for the kids that Joe and I have.
It's still. I mean, I wouldn't let kids watch it just because of the idea of, okay, aliens are going to come and abduct you.
Big powerful aliens that you can't really stop.
We didn't
mention that Shazam also stands for something for Black Adam, but it's all different gods for him.
Oh, does he say the same word?
Yeah, he says Shazam too, and it's all Egyptian gods. I don't know them all, but Shu and Horus and...
This is one of those characters that was kind of a minor character that then when Geoff Johns got his hands on a certain, you know, corner of the DC universe, he updated him and made it very different. And so when Geoff Johns was writing Black Adam, he was, I want to say, the protector of a Middle Eastern country, like the ruler slash protector of somewhere near Egypt, one of those made up DC, universe countries. And so I don't know which version, what version of it we'll have. When they first announced that Dwayne Johnson was going to be in a Shazam movie, I assumed he would be like the adult form of Shazam that the little kid says. And then, he was the superhero body. But apparently he's a different character entirely.
Well, they've kind of turned him into an anti-hero, like not a complete villain, but just kind of an anti-hero. So people are saying that because Dwayne Johnson is able to play the lovable jerk, then that's a likely fit for him. And just as a side note, he has already played an Egyptian god before.
Right, the Scorpion King.
The Scorpion King, yes.
That was his break from wrestling into Hollywood.
It was. It
you
was.
Mean that time he gave his likeness for that CGI thing?
Yes, that was it. All right. Our last comic book news for the night is that The Walking Dead came out, and in an interview they said that the producers toned down the violence after the season premiere backlash. I have not watched any of season
7. We've lost two-thirds of our viewership. What should we do?
What backlash? I mean, viewers don't want to watch two beloved characters have their head removed by a baseball bat? Come on.
With his eye poking out?
Oh, it's like for a second.
Yeah, that's enough for me, dude.
So I have read the comic books. I have read the comic books, and I have seen this part, and I made the decision. I am not, like, as soon as I knew where they were at, I'm like, I'm not watching. I don't care if it happens the exact same as it does in the comics or not. This is going to be too intense on TV for me. But I'm not old enough yet.
But Negan.
I know. Negan is really cool in the comics. But the only time that I've ever had to put down a comic because it got too intense for me was issue 100 of The Walking Dead, which is the same one as
it's the season premiere. Yeah.
As the season premiere. And I turn the page and I see this splash page, which is literally a splash page. And I was like, all right, I need to take a breather here. And that was in black and white ink. And so I decided right then and there, I'm not going to be able to handle live action gore. So I checked out.
Here, let me have a counteract. Let me counterpoint. Negan.
Okay, all right.
Oh, you've sold me.
See,
Negan.
But here's the thing. Okay, I have not read the comics, right? Everyone loves Negan, and I don't like him at all.
No, everyone
like, I understand how cool he is.
Villain.
Yeah, but like
it's not I love to hate, you just...
Yeah, like it's not even a James Gandolfini in Sopranos where it's like the lovable, like horrible person. Like,
oh no, there's no love in him at all.
Yeah, like I literally don't root for him in any way, shape, or form. And so like I can't cheer for him in any way. And like every time, like I'm about halfway through the season and I have to work myself up to watch it because I'm like, all I do and all I've watched is every character that I love, like, being hurt all the time. And there's no redemption for that. And it's just like, this isn't worth it to me. Like, there's not even, like, a glimpse of hope at all in any of it. And that's not what I want to watch. You know, that's not my, you know, thing. And I think that a lot of people feel that way. And so
that's
why they're
tell you.
Going through
catch
this.
Up.
Yeah, well, and I plan to, but it's like I literally have to work myself up to watch it. Like, I have to be like, okay, I am in a good place mentally in my own, like, world. Now I'm going to try to watch this, and I'm going to bring myself down a few notches, but, you know, I'm in a good place right now, so I can do it, you know? And that's not something that I want to do when I'm going to watch a show, right?
Right. Well, all I'm going to say is that this show, because you hate Negan so much, the resolution feels that much better.
But then I heard that he's going to be in like all of the next season, and I'm like, I can't go two seasons of this. Like they're like, oh, he's signed up for the next season, and I'm like, I can't.
It could be as simple as flashbacks, or he could be. You know, I don't want to spoil anything. I mean, there is very departed from the comic books at this point. However, this storyline seems fairly close, so I'm not going to spoil anything. But he may not be the same Negan next season.
So,
oh gosh, Ghost Negan Jedi.
Jedi Negan.
he's gonna have his redemption like Vader right at the end.
That's why the Star Wars is red.
Yep, that's it. There's going to be Negan. Negan's coming to the Star Wars universe. Fanfic. I have one every episode.
Lucille the lightsaber.
I have it. Oh my gosh.
Now I have to make that. Thanks a lot.
Oh my gosh. I am drawing that picture.
So, Brandon, you know what happens. I'm not, without actually spoiling it, you know what happens in the premiere? You know?
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know exactly what happens.
Okay, skip it. Watch episode 2. It is, there's zombie violence, but there's no... It's the episode 2 of this season has King Ezekiel.
Oh, okay, King Ezekiel.
He's cool. He's cool. Awesome. He's the reason that I like continued, and then it was like no more King Ezekiel, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. So there's a couple more like Negan the jerk moments, but there's not as gruesome as the first episode. So if you know what happened in the first episode, go ahead and skip it. Like, you get the basic idea.
So that is our geek news. We talked about Star Wars The Last Jedi. We talked about a Flash Supergirl musical crossover featuring John Barrowman, Black Adam movie,
oh my gosh,
and
so good.
The Walking Dead toning down its violence. Okay.
Do you think he'll sing You Raise Me Up like he does at every Comic-Con?
He sang at that one Comic-Con?
Yeah, he sang it twice at two Comic-Cons.
I hope he just sings everything. Like, every line of dialogue, he's just singing.
Dude, it could be totally like the Buffy, like...
The wall-to-wall. Yeah.
Yeah. Just has everyone has to sing everything.
More of an opera than a musical.
Dude, rock opera. Telling you.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. Okay, so we are going to do our main discussion now. So we all know about superheroes. That's what's brought most of us together today, as opposed to love, true love.
What?
Marriage.
You use that word. I don't think it means what you
love.
Think
it means. Whoa. Love.
See, when I don't ask him, but I know what I can do to trigger him, he can go right off. When I tell him, go, he's...
You just have to give a list of words that trigger these fits.
Oh, can I get a list of those words? Sorry.
Yes, it's called The Princess Bride.
All right. Oh, that's another news story. They are going to be doing a screening during Comic-Con, Salt Lake Comic-Con, of
Over?
The Princess Bride.
Why, my dear delusional Dark Knight, it hasn't even begun.
All
Why
right.
did you interrupt him telling a story that you're interested in?
Because it's
Because
Nick.
It came to my mind.
Okay. All right. So, like I was saying, we all know about superheroes, and that's probably a reason why most of us are listening to a geek podcast. But they were actually pretty much created during the Golden Age of comics, which was from about 1930 to about 1950. So today, celebrating our Golden Age of 100, I'm grabbing at words here. We're going to be talking about some of the forgotten greats of this era. There are some amazing
greats.
pretty loose use of that word.
Well, no. Once we start talking about these characters, you will agree with me that they are great. So like I've mentioned a couple times, I have a long commute home. It's about 45 minutes. And so a lot of that time is spent thinking about different things. And I'm like, you know what would be fun to do? A game. We should do a game with the Golden Age comics. And so I devised this whole crazy rule set and everything. And then when I reached out to Joe to be like, hey, be on this episode tonight, he's like, oh, superhero Balderdash. So that's essentially what we're doing tonight, is superhero Balderdash. But if you don't know, if you, like me, have never played Balderdash, here is what we are going to be doing. We're going to be doing multiple rounds, and for each round, I am going to pick a forgotten character from the Golden Age comics. And I'm going to have a question based on their power set. Like, what did their costume look like? What inspired their creation? What was their origin story? What are some of their most known gadgets? And Jeff and Nick and Joe are going to send me their answer in an IM or text or Facebook message or something like that. And then I will use those answers as multiple choices while including the actual answer. So everyone's going to choose what they think the actual answer is, vocalize their thought process so it's not boring to listen to for you guys, kind of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And if they get the right answer without multiple choice, you get 2 points. If you get the right answer from multiple choice, you get a point. But you also get an additional point for everyone who chooses your incorrect answer. Does that make sense, guys? Any questions before we get started?
Clear as mud.
Is this a good point for me to mention that I have published a chapter in a book about the Golden Age of the comic book industry?
I was going to let you take all the winnings, and we were going to split that. Don't you remember?
Okay.
Winnings? Whoa, hold on. There's stakes in this? I have to put effort into this? What's happening?
There are a lot of characters from the Golden Age, so I don't know. I'm not familiar with all of them.
So we will have a link to Joe's book on Golden Age characters in the show notes. You can buy all those books on Amazon, right?
Yes. That one is it's a chapter in a larger book, but the chapter is just on the Golden Age of the comic book industry.
Well, then why don't you, being our resident expert, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's amazing about the Golden Age?
Okay. So the Golden Age is, like you said, it's an era from the 1930s to the early to mid-50s, and it's wibbly-wobbly as to who... Like, if you start looking up who says when it started and when it ended, everyone argues about that. I like to think of it as when Superman was created in 1938, that's the start of the Golden Age. Everything before that was kind of, we're feeling our way along. But the Golden Age is when superheroes and comic books kind of became intertwined in a way that remains inseparable culturally to this day. But it also showed that this was an era when other genres worked in comic books. So everyone thinks when you hear it's a comic book movie, you think superhero. But the Golden Age saw the rise of the superheroes as the dominant genre, but also the fall of superheroes and the rise of sci-fi and romance and westerns and all these other genres that kind of took their place in the late 40s and early 50s. After World War II, superheroes kind of fell out of favor. So it showed that superheroes are great for comic books, but the industry's going to endure with other kinds of characters after that. But then in the Silver Age, superheroes kind of rise again, and that's when they've become the, you know, to this day, the driving market force in it. But you have a lot of the great creators, just this wave of imagination that is everything from like wild ideas, but also blatantly stealing of other people's ideas. Like this wonderful mix.
Comic books don't steal from each
other. You might recognize some of the things that we see here tonight.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
But it's this key moment in American popular culture history is the Golden Age of comic books. Some characters endured nonstop, like Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. They first appeared in the early Golden Age and they never stopped publishing. Some characters appeared and then would be brought back. So like Captain America appeared in the Golden Age of comic books. He was like on his first issue, he was punching Hitler in the face. And this was America when America was still isolationist. And the creators of Captain America, Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, they got hate mail from isolationists saying America shouldn't be involved in fighting the Nazis and how dare you. But then Captain America went away and then he came back in the Silver Age. So there's some characters that have made it and then some kind of became relics in popular culture history.
Okay, our very first Golden Age character, we are going to be talking about their power set. So what I'm going to give you the character and you are going to tell me his power set and then we'll do the multiple choice. So the first character is Diamond Jack. All right. So get your responses in and we will see who can the correct power set for Diamond Jack. All right. Okay. So let me compile these real quick.
Mine had a typo. That's embarrassing.
Oh, no.
That's why mine took so long to write. I had to, like, spell check it.
Proofread. Revise.
Wait. Let me go make sure I don't include that typo. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay, your first option is Diamond Jack is an Australian diamond miner who gains the strength and bounce of a kangaroo from a mysterious artifact found in a diamond mine. So that's the first option. Your second option is Diamond Jack really doesn't have any superpowers to speak of. He is a detective similar to The Question. Okay, your third answer is that Diamond Jack was given an ancient ring that gave him super strength, invulnerability, super senses, the ability to heal others, limited flight, and a few other plot convenient abilities. He used the magic ring to fight crime.
I like that last part. Plot convenient abilities.
Jeez.
Oh, all right. And then your final choice is Diamond Jack has fingernails as hard as diamonds that have razor sharp edges and then takes on the clever superhero identity of Diamond Jack. All right. We are going to go Nick, Jeff, Joe in this order. Okay, Nick.
So I guess which one it actually is.
Yeah, try to guess which one it actually is.
It's the diamond ring.
Diamond ring. All right. Nick thinks it's the diamond ring. All right. Why do you think it's the diamond ring?
Because I actually know. No, I don't know.
No, you don't.
Diamond Jack. Okay, so it was either that one or Kangaroo Boy. Because Jack is a kangaroo thing. That makes sense. And that's totally the mindset that a gold thing would do. But then also, if they're going to be so blatant as to say diamond, then I would say ring. So, and in the Golden Age, they just gave them an abnormal amount of a lot of powers.
Okay.
And so it's just like, hey, and if it's DC, which I don't know, they always give all of their superheroes like ungodly power. And so it would make sense that that would be it. So I'm banking on the fact that it's a DC character.
All right. Well, I'm just going to say this. No, it was never a DC character.
Dang it.
Okay. Was it Fawcett?
It was Slam Bang Comics and... Oh, no, you're right. Fawcett. Fawcett did... Wow. See, that's why we're splitting the prize money.
Again, money. Where's this coming from?
Oh, well, you know, splitting $0, we can do that equitably, right?
Ooh, don't divide by zero. Are you crazy?
All right. So, Jeff, you get the next guess.
Real quick, do I get a point if I just guess my own answer? Like,
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Because that seems like an easy way just to guarantee a point each time.
You know, I didn't think about it like that because I'm not a cheater like you, but I'm just going to make up the rule.
No. First. And right now I'm disappointed Nick didn't jump in and go, oh, I need to change my answer. But I'm going to go with the fingernails because that sounds just clever enough to make it, but dumb enough to get it canceled.
Okay, Diamond Jack has fingernails as hard as diamonds that have razor-sharp edges. Okay, and Joe.
All right, I'm going to... Was it the ring that did the plot convenient powers?
Yes.
I'm going to choose that, because that is the definition of so many of these Golden Age superheroes, where, like, just in one story, they do something that they've never done before and will never do again, but it just helped them to solve that one case. So I liked that touch, so I'm going to choose that one.
Okay, so the correct answer is that he was given an ancient magic ring that gave him super strength and vulnerability, super senses, the ability to heal others, limited fly, and a few other plot convenient abilities. As a side note, he can also create anything from his imagination and transmute objects.
Don't seem like that would be the first power.
Gets so mentioned. He's God. That's what.
No, he's Green Lantern.
it's kind of like Green Lantern. As I read that, I was like, that sounds like a construct from Green Lantern, and mixed with all the powers of Superman.
Yes, but, Green Lantern, but more.
Okay, so that was the correct answer. So Nick and Joe, they are both at 1 point. However, Joe gets an additional point because Jeff chose his. Yeah, so yeah. Leave it to the Golden Age expert to come up with one just close enough. All right. Okay, our next round, we are going to be describing the costume or appearance of this character. And boy, this one, I am excited to hear what you guys put down. The title of this character is Fat Man, the Human Flying Saucer. Yes. Yes, you heard. So on his cover, it says, look out. Here comes Fat Man, the Human Flying Saucer, the world's largest pinup hero.
Okay. So, we're supposed to describe his costume then?
Describe his costume and or appearance. Okay, let's see. While you guys are talking about, or are thinking about it, sending me in your answers, I'll tell you a little bit of his origin. So, multi-millionaire owner of a string of hobby shops and the world's leading expert on hobbies of all sorts, Van Crawford was out for a walk one day when he saw a flying saucer crash. Going to its aid, he discovered the saucer was really a shape-shifting alien. To reward Van Crawford for helping him, the alien gave him a drink that Crawford thought tasted like a chocolate milkshake. It, however, was really the substance the race the alien belonged to used to turn into flying saucers. Van Crawford found now that he could transform the same way. Devising a costume and calling himself Fat Man, he devoted himself to fighting evil. Now, this is a Golden Age. This is a Golden Age comic that, I got to say, it's very body positive for back in the Golden Age. So, yeah. you got
Fat Man. Charles Atlas ads about, you know, becoming the muscular superhero in the back of that one. If you've ever read old comics, there's always an ad from Charles Atlas, who was a bodybuilder back in the day, and promising comic book geeks that they, if they ordered his workout guide, that they could be as strong as a superhero.
Oh, if dreams became reality, right? Never mind the fact that the Marvel way to draw a body is very disproportional to the real world.
I think we could just expand that to all publishers, comic book publishers.
So, all right, let's see. Powers and abilities. I'll give you his powers and abilities. I will redact to avoid giving anything away. Van Crawford can actually fly faster than the speed of sound, fire force beams, travel underwater unaffected, and deflect bullets.
Wait, travel water unaffected? So like Aquaman, like
travel underwater unaffected? Yes.
Okay.
So I'm sure. So it was his flying point.
His flying saucer is like a submarine as well. Just so. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I'm trying to picture this.
Okay. Here's even better. When in his Van Crawford form, he was remarkably agile and gymnastic, and was able to use his girth as a weapon itself. By doing such things as landing on adversaries after a triple forward flip or just hitting them with his belly. He could also communicate telepathically. So,
dude, I want to be a
These Golden Age characters
superhero.
Had a lot going on.
I could cosplay this guy. Let's just say that.
No, we've already established what you're cosplaying as.
No, I'm not doing Princess Leia.
Dang it.
I'm going to be cosplaying as Jesus if I can get the cross done in time.
All right. So our options are...
What's the order for guessing this go around?
You know what? Let's do it in reverse. You got to go first, and then Jeff, and then Nick. That's how it is. I'm just making this up as I go.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So he has a... So the fat man wears a silver spandex suit with what looks like a UFO at the midsection, but it's not a costume. That's just what his body looks like. Okay, Fat Man the Human Flying Saucer is an obese man dressed with a short silver cape and a green jumpsuit like an alien. White hair and large round goggles to look like an alien face. All right, next option. Fat Man wears a domino mask and a tuxedo, but the cummerbund of the tuxedo looks like the expanded disc of a UFO. And the final option is Fat Man is an overweight white Anglo-Saxon Protestant that wears a green spandex suit with a yellow cape.
Oh, Brandon, this is embarrassing. You forgot to read the real one.
Did I? Oh, yeah.
No, one of those was real and published, right?
One of those was really published. But, I mean, just remember, he's Fat Man, the Human Flying Saucer, the world's largest pinup hero.
All right. And I have to guess first, right?
Yeah, you're going first.
All right. I mean, this is kind of... Some of this is because you told us his origin, but we all were typing our answers as you read the origin, so any of us could have stolen this. But I'm going to go with the one with the alien mask, the googly-eyed alien mask.
All right.
And it was a green jumpsuit, right?
Yes, green jumpsuit like an alien. White okay. hair and large round goggles like an alien face. All right. Jeff, you're up.
No pressure. You know, I like. I'm gonna follow along with that.
Sounds like an alien enough. Face.
The alien face. Okay. So what Jeff is saying is like, well, the comic book expert chose this one, so I'm gonna copy because I need to get funny. On the board. Is that what I'm hearing, Jeff?
No. No, it's mostly to do with the fact that I forgot what the other answers were.
And you want me to read them? I'll read them again. No, okay. All right. He's going with it. The goggle alien face. All right, Nick, are you going to guess?
Okay, I'm not going to be like everybody else.
Of course not. Why would we ever think that?
But I really do. Okay, so in thinking about the Golden Age, I'm really trying to take this seriously, sadly enough.
Maybe that's my problem.
In thinking about how they would draw it, I really do believe that they would not do a silver, they wouldn't do a silver one, and they wouldn't put him in a tuxedo. So I'm going to have to go with the other green one with the yellow cape.
Green with yellow cape. All right, well.
Because I want to be different than everyone else.
If you look in the show notes, you see that Nick got a correct point for guessing the correct answer. To be honest, I threw in the Anglo-Saxon Protestant because they don't have written down anywhere what he looks like. So I just, I was like, well, maybe this will throw them off a little bit. And whose was the goggly face? That's Nick.
Oh, Nick, you cleaned up on that.
Oh, right? Yeah, baby.
Nick, we all picked yours.
3 points. Yes.
Oh, well done, Nick.
Good job. Good
insurmountable job, lead, as we like to say over on the Protagonist podcast.
I don't think that's the case here.
We'll all right, so we are at 4 points for Nick, 2 points for Joe, and Jeff has yet to hit the board.
I'm still here.
You're still here. All right. All right, so our next round is going to be sidekicks. Every great superhero has his sidekick, whether it is Superman with Jimmy Olsen or Batman with the Boy Wonder. So our superhero that we will be describing their sidekick is named Gunsmoke.
So Gunsmoke is the hero or the sidekick?
Gunsmoke is the hero, and he has a sidekick that you will be describing for us. You can tell us his name, you can tell us his description, what he looks like, you can tell us his power set, however you want to handle that. While you guys are thinking about that, here's Gunsmoke's synopsis. Gunsmoke is the mysterious masked rider of the Purple Sage. He rides a coal black, lightning-fast horse and is assisted by... I'm going to leave that blank right there. Gunsmoke's method of communication is smoke signals. I'm going to assume, because, and this is a side note, I've never read Gunsmoke, but I'm hoping that those smoke signals come out of his guns. Just saying.
He fires them in the right, you know.
Yes.
Kind of
yes.
like Morse code, but... with his gun.
I need help. I hope they can understand this. I hope they can understand this smoke signal. Well, I guess if not, they heard the gunshots. So Gunsmoke attempts to bring criminals to justice through legal means with good old-fashioned detective work. However, if criminals resort to killing, especially people that Gunsmoke knows, then he will deliver a more lethal form of justice. Gunsmoke is a skilled fighter, gunslinger, and detective. And as far as I can tell, this has nothing to do with the TV show Gunsmoke, just as an FYI.
I think you're safe on that.
So if one of us somehow gets it right, you'll just let us know right away.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. He put it in the rules.
Hey, dude, I got pretty close.
The green suit with the silver?
Yeah,
versus the green suit with the yellow. And you just added some more things that made more sense, you know, for a Golden Age character. Okay, Jeff, you are the first respondent, but here are the answers to choose from. Surprisingly, nobody got this dead on correct. I'm just saying. Okay, so Gunsmoke's sidekick is named Smoke Talker, a Native American from a made-up tribe, so no one is offended. He is the one who teaches Gunsmoke how communications with guns does not have to be lethal. Okay, so there's your first one, Smoke Talker, the non-lethal, not-offensive Native American.
Because whenever people make up a generic Native American, it always goes well.
Always. Haven't you seen the Johnny Depp movie?
Yeah, he'll also be played by Johnny Depp. I was just going to say that.
All right.
Lone Ranger.
Okay, here is your next option for Gunsmoke's sidekick is Pedro, the young Mexican teen that wears a gray suit and Texas tie, two six shooters, and a sombrero. Pedro also handles all of Gunsmoke's smoke signaling for him.
He uses his hat. Why not?
Of course.
There you go. I don't know.
All right. Gunsmoke's sidekick is Bullet Boy, who is really the orphan Timmy Thompson, who was rescued from the bandits who killed his ma and pa by Gunsmoke. Wearing a bullet-shaped hat, he rides along Gunsmoke on his trusty horse, Whisper, and acts as a scout when Gunsmoke needs to know the lay of the land, how many bad guys there are, and what the best approach would be. All right, and then your final option is Gunsmoke's sidekick is Kid Dynamite, a teenage sidekick that has an unhealthy obsession with things that go boom. Dressed in a red tunic, a bandolier of his favorite explosives, and a miner's helmet with a light that sends signals to his ally. So you've got a non-offensive Native American. You've got a very offensive Mexican teen. You've got your stereotypical orphan who rides along with lightning on Whisper. And then you have your kid that likes to blow things up.
Kid Dynamite. I, you know, just with my familiarity of Golden Age comics, we probably shouldn't call it a non-offensive Native American.
Okay, all right. All right, he's a very offensive Native American.
Attempt at a non-offensive Native American.
Oh, okay. Okay, Jeff, which one do you think?
I am going to go with number 3, simply because his real name is T.T., the double alliteration.
Oh, Bullet Boy and Timmy Thompson.
Yeah.
All right. So Jeff's going with the third option.
Comics.
Okay, Nick, what is your choice?
I really think that it's the Indian, the Native
Smoke
American.
Talker?
Smoke Talker, yeah. Because that's just something that they would do at that time. I'm going basically on that they would totally do that. Like, and it would be very offensive, and they'd think it was awesome.
We made up this Native American from a tribe that doesn't exist, so it wouldn't be offensive, so we can throw all stereotypes in there and be like, no, it's just that made-up tribe.
Yes. Okay. I'm going with that one.
With similar thinking, I am going with Pedro.
Pedro, the completely offensive Mexican teen that wears a gray suit, Texas tie, and two six shooters, and a sombrero. Okay, so on this round, there are lots of points to be had. Because you guys all chose different answers, and now I have to go look and see who gave what answer. Nick got no points.
Nope.
No points.
You're right, Kid Dynamite then?
Yeah, Nick was Kid Dynamite.
I thought there was a Kid Dynamite, but it didn't sound right for Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see, Jeff, you got... Oh, you were the one who made up Smoke Talker.
That's awesome, Jeff. Good job.
On the board. Let's put a point there. Jeff gets a point.
I love the name Smoke Talker.
Smoke Talker. And which means that Joe created Timmy Thompson, or Bullet Boy. And so Joe gets 2 points for also guessing the correct answer of Pedro, the young Mexican teen.
So Pedro was correct?
Pedro was correct.
I want to see a picture. Do you have a picture of Pedro and Gunsmoke?
In the show notes.
All right. Let's see. They should be appearing here. Oh, here
see if
comes.
I can find a better one.
That does not look like a Mexican boy. I'm sorry.
I just found a better one. Hang on.
But yes.
But he is saying Madre
awesome.
Mia.
That's true. And he has, that's really funny.
Madre Mia, Gunsmoke.
I'll stop him if it's human.
So
that's awesome.
There's another one of him with his sombrero on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Still doesn't look like a
teen.
That's
good
but...
looking. Yeah, he looks a lot older. I don't know very many teens that have such a nice mustache.
All right. Well, I think we are up to our last round right now. And this one is going to be on gadgets. And it's still anybody's game. Jeff could come from behind and get the correct answer. And
I got no points that turn, so...
Yeah, yeah. So Jeff could still get the correct answer and get you two to choose his answer, which would boost him up to 4 points, which would then make it a three-way tie. So let's hope that doesn't happen, because that would be so boring.
So the easiest way to solve that would be you two don't pick the same answer.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to guarantee that Jeff doesn't get the tie.
I was more leaning towards the guarantee a win, not a three-way tie, but you know.
If you really want to mess up Jeff's chances... You have the opportunity. Okay, so all great superheroes have their gadgets. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this time. Batman is the king of the gadgets. He's got everything on that utility belt of his. And so in order to make things interesting, I have decided to go with another superhero that is primarily gadget-based, because this guy is named Future Man.
Oh, I've never heard of Future Man at all.
No.
Have you really heard of the other ones, though? I'm just saying.
Like, just references in books. I've never read any of their stories, but like when I was reading about Golden Age, I knew there was a Fat Man. I knew nothing about him.
And now you do.
Yep. So this has been very informative. All right, so Future Man.
Future Man. Name some of his gadgets. Describe one if you want to. I've got a couple that I could go with.
Why don't you give us a number of gadgets we have to make up real quick, just so we all...
Let's do 3 gadgets.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
3 gadgets. All right. So so the Future Man's real name is Era Kronos, which, of course, it's Future Man. He is a scientist from the 25th century, and he lives in the southern region of the fictional Americas Unitas, which translates to United Americas, which is the entire American continent in a single nation. And so his wife's name is Roma, and he's got a few inventions that I am going to be redacting for the purposes of not ruining this. So he can travel to any place and time in history, which he often does to fight crime and injustice. Kronos has been present in several key moments of human history, such as the discovery of fire by the first human beings, the disembark of the Vikings in America well before Columbus, the slave uprising led by Spartacus in ancient Rome, among others, but he always managed to remain anonymous and out of the history books. However, during his incursions in the present to fight criminals, he was given the name Future Man by different people that saw him.
So he's like Doctor Who.
So he lost his anonymity in the present day. I wonder if, like, with the caveman, like, is he Prometheus? Like, he wasn't as subtle as he thought.
Okay, I think everybody's answers are in. This one is Jeff. Let's do Nick and then Joe and then Jeff.
I should not listen while Nick says his, just so Jeff still has that chance.
Oh, well, you know what? there's no other way to compete with that, is there? Well, if you stop listening, be sure to check in every once in a while to make sure it's not your turn.
Right. Okay.
All right. Okay. So the first choice of three gadgets is the Time Visor, a TV-like device which allows him to see any event through space and time. His Time Machine, which allows him to travel to any place in time in history. And he also has an anatomic jet motor, small enough to fit on his back and allow him to fly. Okay, that's your first set of three. Your next set of three,
This can be hard to keep track of.
Yes, yes, it is. I've realized three may have been. Maybe I should have just gone with one, but three. But you guys put a lot of thought into this, so I'm gonna read all these out. Okay,
making notes.
The next set of three is Chronovision screen that lets him view any moment. Anti-gravity soles in his boots that let him float up to 8 feet off the ground. Vertigo ray gun that causes anyone he shoots to experience crippling dizziness. All right. Third option, invisible rocket ship named Timesar with an AI named Susan. An atomic-powered watch that changes time to where and when he has landed.
That's very handy for what he does.
Well, right. I mean, it's like, because not all time periods have the sinking time clocks. So you got to have something that will do that. All right. And then his last gadget that he has is a robot named Rob Bot that keeps him from changing too much of the timeline. All right. All right. Okay. Last and final option is that Future Man has mind controlling jet boots. Yes, that is one object. Teleport rings that are roughly the size of a hula hoop, and power armor that turns invisible so that he can wear it over his clothes at all times. To be honest, I don't even remember the order, so so you guys just go.
I wrote down the ones that I'm gonna go with number two. That had the vertigo gun, and that one.
So he shoots vertigo ray gun that causes anyone he shoots to experience crippling dizziness.
Yeah, and then there was
that one also had the anti-gravity soles.
Yep, yeah, that one.
Let him float 8 feet off the ground, and chronovision, a screen that lets him view any moment. All right.
I like it.
Am I up?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know if I really think this is the real one, or if I just want it to be, or I just want to reward the person who wrote Rob Bot, but I want the option that had Rob Bot that prevents him from altering the timelines too much.
All right, so you want the invisible rocket ship named Timesar.
You bet I do.
You want the atomic-powered watch that changes time to where and when he's landed.
Yes.
And the robot named Rob.
Those are all great. I love all of those.
All right, Jeff. Which one do you think it is?
None of them. Is that I'm going to go with the first one. Yeah, more time traveler type person than, superhero, but,
The time visor, which is a TV-like device, which lets you see any event through space and time. A time machine, which any good time traveler will need. And an anatomic jet motor, small enough to fit on his back and allow him to fly.
That's a good choice, too.
These all sounded plausible. You're reading them off. Well, that could be a golden age. That could be golden age future man armaments.
All right. Jeff, you got 1 point.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, I got it right?
Which means that Jeff had the right answer.
Yeah. Nobody guessed mine. So.
I like how the time visor and the chronovision are essentially the same thing. So, but his name is Chronos, so you can't name it after him. That would be too ego. Oh, wait, it is Golden Age.
Dude, it was Golden Age, and that's really what turned it for me, which is kind of sad. Like, I was literally, going between those two, and I said, you know what? I think that, the Vertigo ray gun is a little bit of a stretch, but I liked it enough, and I thought that maybe they were just being super creative.
So,
and also, that would be a really good way for him not to kill people and be able to escape. So,
Not alter the timeline too much. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So that right there, you just gave Joe a point, but it's okay.
Because I gave you a point?
Joe turned around and gave you a point.
Rob Bot, 9,000.
And the ship, you
cannot kill Hitler.
I didn't choose the Rob Bot because that sounds exactly like something Nick would say.
Yeah, like on a lot of these, on a couple of these rounds, I had to go back and look at the message. It was like, who wrote which one? Because they're all as implausible as the next. But that one, I'm like, Rob Bot, that one's definitely Nick's.
I'm glad I gave you a point.
He has a spaceship named Timestar. I mean, honestly.
That deserved a point all around.
But then I was like, okay, everything in the Golden Age was atomic powered. And so I was like, okay, let's give him an atomic powered something.
All right.
And then the watch just went along. I mean, it just flowed. I mean, it was that creativity just flowing.
Here's something that I just find amazing. So you guys got so close to his gadgets, so close, because another one of his gadgets was a mind control beam. So he has two guns, and one of them is a mind control beam. Now, if that was stored in his boot, I might have given you the points on that one.
Jeez. Who knows? Maybe it is.
That's where the holster is, you know?
And then, so he can control people and animals with that gun. And the other one is a heat ray gun. Yeah. So
he did have a ray gun, just not a vertigo ray.
That was good. I like that.
Which, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, because you don't want to kill people, because who knows, that might have been the great-great-grandfather of somebody really important. So, yeah, So the final score, we do end with a tie, but it's only a two-way tie, so we may not have a winner, but we definitely have a loser.
Oh.
Ouch.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, Jeff.
Wow. Ow.
Jeff, we'll have you on over at the Protagonist Podcast.
Okay. Do I get to badmouth these guys? Or?
All right. Well, I think this is probably, I'm not going to say a good place to wrap it up. This is where we're going to wrap it up. So, Joe, thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your extensive knowledge about Golden Age comics. If people want to find you, where would they go? What would they buy? What would they listen to?
You can listen to the Protagonist Podcast, or you can just go over to protagonistpodcast.com. The easiest way to find my books, which I've edited several essay collections on superheroes, which would be to just go to Amazon and type in Dorowski and anything superhero related that comes up there. And that's D-A-R-O-W-S-K-I. D-A-R-O-W-S-K-I. You'll find I wrote a book about the X-Men and have edited some essay collections on superheroes, and I have a book about Frasier that I'm co-authoring with my sister Kate that should be coming out soon. So that one may be appearing on Amazon.
Don't mess that one up. You might get in trouble from her.
Yes.
All right. Well, we will also have links in the show notes to all your stuff. So if you go over to fandompodcast.com, click on the link, or in your podcatcher, just tap the album art. Most of them will bring up links in there. But I just want to say it's been 100 episodes. Thank you for listening. We're hoping that we'll get at least 100 more in here, assuming that you guys don't stop listening to us. So thank you so much. We appreciate everybody who listens. I tell my family, like, well, we're sitting down and we're just a bunch of nerds talking, and we have people listening, and it just blows their minds that they listen. And to be honest, it blows mine as well. So thank you for listening. If this is your first time, which, boy, welcome to the podcast.
Where's a good place to start this podcast? 100? Is that generally a good spot?
But if this is your first time, go ahead and subscribe. You can do that by going to fandompodcast.com/iTunes or fandompodcast.com/Android, depending on your device. Or if you've got a podcatcher that you like, just search for the Fandom Podcast in there. We should come up. If this is not your first time, we would love to hear from you. We would love to hear what you like, what things you would like us to cover, things that we got just blatantly wrong. It's been known to happen.
We've never gotten anything wrong.
No, never. Never. We've never done whole episodes based off of fake news that we reported on either.
I laugh so hard if he's actually cast as James Bond.
Yeah, that would be really funny.
Every podcast has scores of fact checkers working before it gets posted, right?
I actually think that it was Joe that called us on that, too.
It was. What are your sources for this?
Joe's like, wait, I don't think this is right. And we're like, you are correct. You're smarter than all of us.
Check your sources, people.
I just wanted it to be true. I wanted to know who the new James Bond was, but I hadn't seen it anywhere yet.
I'll put a link in the show notes to both of those conversations. So, all right. Until next time.
Ding dong. Warden Joker would like to announce, as of today, all Arkham guards have been fired due to budget cuts.
See, you don't even have to say anything. You'll just go again and again.
I really want a Rob Bot 9000.
May the fandom be with you.
We're just kind of doing the honor system of not Googling it right now.
Yeah, I trust you guys. I don't know why, but I trust you guys.
Well, I literally almost did, and I realized, oh, wait, there's more to this, not just my guess.
That would be a violation.
Part of the fun is coming up with your own superhero, Jeff.
Well, because I thought, here's my guess, now I'm see if I got it right. And then I thought, then I forgot that there was that extra step. I didn't Google. I've already sent my
answer. So he says.
If I got it right, it's purely by coincidence. Based on how long it's taking everyone else, I have a feeling I did not put as much thought into my answer as you guys did.
That's your outro. I've put a lot of thought into my in my life of superpowers of name people, so this is like right up my alley. I'm really excited.
I think I'm just going to go out on a limb and say everyone on this podcast has put some thought into superhero powers.
Probably most people listening, too.